This evening is our talk back, and part of talk back is to be a little bit of upfront stuff, and then we're going to spend most of the time tonight, hopefully, in groups, and spend some time as well praying for one another. Here's Christian, I want us to think about or have in our minds as we are going through this evening. How will the UK be reached? How will the UK be reached? We're thinking this morning, Tim is helping us to think a little bit about Africa and the mission there and the great need there and the call to hear that Matthew 28 challenge to go and to think about, well, what's stopping us from going? Tim helpfully says some of us will need to stay to send, but of course, we're all, in one sense, called to go. And the question is, how will the UK be reached? How does it fit with that Great Commission? So I want us to keep that mind in perspective. I've got a handout for you, but I'll give you those at the end. See, how will the UK be reached? We often speak about the gathered church. Now, that is what we do as a church family, the activities that are connected to the life of the church. And it's made up primarily of what we'd call the church here, the building, the gathered activities, that which we do on a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, when we gather together on a Tuesday evening, community groups. We're talking there as the gathered church, right at the heart of everything, the church, the core. But there's also then what we might call the inner ring. That is those activities that we do that are connected to the church, close to the daily life, as it were, of the church. So at the midweek children's groups, the studies in the elderly homes, the cafe, the Mayflower playgroup, the Saltworks Tots, the studies throughout the week, the together on Wednesdays, the over 50s group, those kind of activities. Okay, they're the activities that are not that we do as the gathered church, but they're closely connected to the life of the church. Okay, so we have the church, the core, the inner ring, and then we go to the outer ring, and the outer ring is kind of how we tackle the big issues of today. So the issues of justice and poverty and disaster and politics and what's happening overseas. And we as a church can have an influence. We pray and we give money and we think about those kind of things. But the truth is, the majority of us don't live our lives in those three rings. The majority of us live our lives in the middle ring. That is the daily context of our lives that are not part of the daily life of the church. It's where we live as the scattered church. If at the heart, the church in the inner ring is what we call the gathered church, what we do in the middle ring is the scattered church. It's what we do for the rest of our time. And of course, when you ask the question, how will you reach the UK? The answer's got to be found, surely, in that middle ring. Because the majority of the church are not able to be involved in the inner ring life, because it happens at times when we're at work or a stage or family or we just live too far away. It's not a crit, it's just a fact. Most of us can't be involved in many of the daily activities that happen in that inner ring. The outer ring, we want to be involved in, but it becomes just too much. And we often feel distant from it, and it's hard to get involved in. So what generally happens is those kind of outer thing, issues of politics, fall back into the core of the church life. We give money for it, we pray, but we're not individually involved in that outer ring generally. It's hard to be. And so when you ask the question, how are you going to reach the UK? It's not going to be through the church at the gathered. It's not going to be the inner ring. It can't be the outer ring. It's going to fall in that middle ring. Not to say that the life of the church gathered is not important, or the inner church activities are not important or strategic. They are, particularly in the lives of young people and elderly. But for the majority of us, we're not involved in them for the majority of our life. If, for example, there are 168 hours in the week, and we assume 48 hours of those are spent sleeping. That leaves 120 hours. Most people can give 10 hours per week maximum to church activities. So to that inner core and that inner ring, 10 hours max. For most, that's probably less. It's probably somewhere around 5. But for the sake of just get in the picture, 10 hours max. That leaves 110 hours per week for everything else, that middle ring. So whatever it is we do each day, and of course for most of us that's going to be taken up in work, whatever constitutes work for us, be it looking after the children or volunteering or paid employment or unpaid work. But that 110 will also include time with family and leisure time and shopping and community life in the neighbourhood and social activities. In other words, the 110 hours is the majority of our life. And in the large, those 110 hours are not attached to the daily life of the church, per se. Which means the middle ring is key, strategically important to how we reach the UK. See, the church gathered that inner ring only accounts for 10 hours max of our lives per week. And we talk a lot about what we do as gathered church, but in reality, it only takes up a very small proportion of our life. The reality is we spend most of our lives as the scattered church, as in the 110. And so if we're going to reach the UK, we need to think about how we do life as the scattered church, how we use our time in that middle ring. We need to think about how the 10 hours as gathered church relates to the 110 hours as scattered church. We need to think about how those things are connected. It's important. But you see how we need to really do a lot of thinking about what we do in that 110 if we're serious about reaching the UK. So firstly then, let's just think briefly about the gathered church. I don't think this will be anything new to the majority of us. But if you're thinking about gathered church, what happens when we gather? So we're talking about the 10 hours predominantly, and particularly that inner church bit, when we gather together on a Sunday morning, evening, together in community groups. What is it we're doing? Well, in one sense, we're gathering with fellow believers. We're to be edified and equipped. We're edifying one another, we're equipping one another, Ephesians 4. And we edify one another as we gather to praise and worship God together. We're equipped in those times to be built up for works of service. It's also where we understand or we're reminded of who we are and how we are to act. The story that we live in, the gospel story that we live in. And it reminds us of who we are in Christ. And you see that happening in the Bible. You see it particularly as Paul addresses the church in Corinth. It's a problematic church. They were a church that had largely been shaped by the culture. And now the Corinthians have appeared to struggle to know how their lives as people who are being shaped by Christ intersect with culture. They were a church that was problematic. They were a church that had been shaped largely too much maybe by the culture. So they were obsessed with celebrity. You know, who do we follow? I follow Paul, I follow Cephas, I follow Apollos, I follow Jesus. They were a church fearful of losing face. They were a church full of selfish worshippers. I'll eat as much as I want to eat and forget about everyone else. In fact, essentially, they were living in a way that was no different to their pagan neighbours. And what does Paul do? He instructs the gathered church. In effect, as he writes that letter, he's preaching a sermon to them as the gathered church, in order to help them know how to live as the scattered church. See, Paul's task was to help them recognize what life should be like as people following Jesus. He wanted them to understand their fundamental identity in Christ and know how that will shape their actions in the real world, in the 110, as it were. So he urges them to recognize that they are recipients of grace. 1 Corinthians 1. He centers their life together as believers by remembering the gospel story. Do you remember 1 Corinthians 1:18? I preach Christ crucified. He reminds them of the gospel and the cross. He encourages them to relate to one another as members of God's family. So you see, particularly 1 Corinthians 3 and 4, but then he has a whole section, 12 to 14, how you behave together, how you love one another, encourage one another. Think of that infamous 1 Corinthians 13 passage on love. To love like Jesus is how you to be as God's people. He calls them to respond to the gospel in love and service in 1 Corinthians 16. See, Paul's concern is that the Corinthians' security of knowing who they were in Christ, their fundamental identity, would then be lived out in a cosmopolitan city that largely saw the message of Christianity as irrelevant. He wanted them to see how they lived out in the 110, in that middle ring. And so as the gathered church, we're reminded of who we are, of how we're to live. And we encourage and edify one another in this. And we praise in God together, worshipping him. And as we do so, as we praise him, we're encouraging one another and building one another up. In one sense, we're recalibrating to who it is we are in Christ when we gather. Now, for years, I think, the church in the UK has emphasized a false picture of the church's current and potential missionary activity. So often we think of church like this, thinking of the church as in the corner, in the ghetto, irrelevant and under siege, and struggling to make connections with wider society, working hard to reach people, investing much time and efforts and resources in mission work, but we fail to make any real impact to get out of the corner. And it's partly because we've only thought of church activities and mission in terms of that center and inner ring, as that is as if it were the total activity of our missionary activity of going out to reach the UK, as if only that center core and church and inner ring is all we've got. But of course, the reality is that we're not in the corner. We gather, but we're also scattered. See, the reality is the picture is much more like this. See, most of the people of God, most of the time, are not in the corner. They're not in the ghetto. Most of the time, the people of God are scattered out into the world, connecting to scores of people in an average week, connecting with work colleagues and family members and neighborhoods and people on the playground and friends. And as a church, we're not scattered just around Haywards Heath. We have an influence in Burgess Hill and Hassocks and Hurstpier Point and at times Brighton and London and even Brussels and at times China and Dubai when members go out there and work. You see, we live the majority of our lives in that 110. Now, if we let that simple fact shape our disciple making, this would result in the people of God living lives of mission, commissioned into all sorts of wonderful places that I could never get to, you could never get to some of those places, but your one place is unique, as it were, to you. And now we begin to see how the UK will be reached. It will be reached by re-envisioning God's people to live authentic Christian lives in the places where they already find themselves, wherever that might be. I need the gathered church to encourage me and remind me in a time to worship with God because it does me good as well as honouring the Lord, but I also need to see I'm on the front line. That my life in the 110, the middle ring, is where I really work out what it is to be a Christian believer. What it really means to follow Christ. Whole life discipleship happens in every hour of our lives. And what would it mean to be a disciple in the 110? What will it mean to be discipled in that time frame? Well, the 110, as we said, is kind of our main mission front. It's our front line. It's where we engage with lots of non-believers. It's where we're going to reach the UK. Of course, it's a great mission field. But it's also the main context in which I work out my Christian life. Because it's in the 110 is the place where I have an opportunity to learn, where I can practice and develop the skills and attitudes of what it means to be a mature disciple. So, for example, it's in the 110 where I really learn to forgive. See, I could forgive and learn to forgive in the 10 hours that we have gathered as a church, but the truth is, where am I really going to learn to forgive? In the 110. Where am I really going to put in the fruit of the Spirit and see all those things, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness? Where am I really going to see those things worked out and expressed? Well, if it's only in the 10, something's wrong. It's got to be in the 110, hasn't it? It's whole life discipleship. And of course, as I do that, as people see me live this out, this whole life discipleship, what happens? It's a witnessing. People begin to see the difference that Christ makes in someone's life. And then we come back to how will the UK be reached? By living as disciples in the 110. It's both mission and maturity. See, what I need to keep reminding myself of is this. Jesus is Lord over every area of life, not just the 10, but the 110 and the 48 hours when I sleep. Came across this quote. It says this, it's easy to come to believe that the cost of our discipleship relates to the demands on our time and money, our involvement, particularly in the inner and center rings. So we mark our discipleship by how much time and money I've given in the gathering of the church, in that church center ring, in that inner ring. But actually, I've got to see that the more radical cost of recognizing that living as disciples of Christ will call for different approaches to the whole of life. So you cannot ignore the implications of the Lordship of Christ on our work or on our social aspirations. And what I want us to do, I don't think that's particularly new, but I want us to really think through what that will mean to be those who have grasped the importance of the 110 hours. So if we've grasped that, both for mission and maturity, what changes will it have in our life? What difference will it make to reaching the UK? What difference would it make to our church life if the 10 hours of our life together were focused on helping people live as whole life disciples in the 110? What difference would it make to our church life if the issues faced in the 110 were more evident in the 10 hours of gathered church life? What would we need to change for this to become a reality? What does our current culture as a gathered church suggest, teach about this whole life discipleship? What are we not doing that we should be doing? What are we doing that encourages you in the 110? Every chance now, we've got a good 20 minutes or so to get into groups to think about these issues, to wrestle through how we as a church can really engage with whole life discipleship. And it's a good chance for us as leadership to hear your thinking and ideas. We have some ideas, but it would be good to hear what you guys think, how we can encourage one another in this.
Just a quick sure. Help us out here with the 110 and 10. What is the 10 made up of, generally speaking, in your estimate there?
So the 10 is primarily that kind of thinking. It's the
So we're making there. Two services and a midweek service, basically, is what you're saying. Probably.
And in the inner ring. Plus probably a bit of serving elsewhere for some.
Or something else. Yeah.
So the ten hours is predominantly thinking about those two rings there.
Sure. And the 110 includes work.
The 110 is everything else. Yeah.
Includes our working life.
Apart from sleep. Yeah. So the gathered church is so when we talk about the 10 hours, we're thinking about really that time when we gather Sunday morning, Sunday evening, midweek, and possibly for others it will be involved in another activity, FX or Zigzag or whatever it is. For some, that's what I mean, it's a rough, for others it will be more than 10, for others it will be far less than 10, but it's a good average. Does that make sense? Any other questions? Everyone's trying to work out, do I get 48 hours sleep or not? No, I wish I did. Okay, so the thing to do now is to get into groups maybe of 5, 6, something like that, and work through those questions. I'll come around with some handouts which have the questions on it. This is just the first bit, then we'll have some other bits I want us to think about as well. So if we grasp the importance of the 110 hours, both for mission and maturity, what changes will it have in our life? What difference would it make to reach in the UK? Anyone want to kick us off? This guy's over here, did a lot of thinking on that. Do you want to start the ball rolling?
We were discussing how what work slash travel takes up probably 50% of our free time. So that then becomes the majority of our time of the week. That is our mission build.
Yeah.
Talking about me and Nigel have quite a lot of commutes to work in London, so it's a case of when you're on the train, you can use your time productively, but it may not be for your maturation as a Christian.
Yeah.
So it's a case of using that time productively. So you want to talk about what you're saying about work time? So we had a little discussion about the differences between actively preaching at your desk or just doing a good job and letting that be a witness, and how so often we let the good job just be a good job and think that that we're doing it for a good purpose, so we're just going to do a good job, but actually we let the opportunity pass of saying this is why we're doing a good job.
Talk about a mindset at work as well. Are we really looking out for these opportunities and ready to take them when they arrive? And the challenge you put in there, which is good, my thought, was around kind of prayer. Does it show in our prayer life that that is our priority and our mindset during our time at work? Take those opportunities.
Yeah. So just that whole thinking, isn't it, of actually this is my mission field, not just my mission field, but it's the place where I'm going to be matured as a disciple. And actually how I engage with that. So, you know, by doing a good job, by the witness, how I use the commute time. But also, if this is such a major time, if of the majority of our lives is in the workplaces, as it is for some of those guys there, then actually I'll be praying. See, often we're really good at praying for the gathered and for one another, understandably, but actually are we praying for the major area of our life, the time when we are in most of our times in the middle ring. The word I was looking for. These guys here, anything that you guys like to add? Anything, Esther, on that first one? Anything?
You mentioned Mr. Carswell's approach to getting up in the morning and asking the Lord to make every opportunity available to him.
Yeah.
And that's his mindset when he went out.
Yeah.
His work was obviously different to our work.
Sure.
And some of us are in quite intense jobs, but you know, you can't be the evangelist all the time. It's not always appropriate.
Sure. But
taking advantage of opportunities as much as you can, but there's also a need for boldness sometimes, because we lack it.
Yeah.
We're not ready enough to grasp that opportunity. Bearing in mind we're not evangelists. In the biblical sense, but we are called to be responsive to opportunities that are given to us. And, yeah.
I think it's a good, you know, it's not this, talking about this group here, this whole idea really of praying for opportunities, but also it's not just that, therefore, that we've got to look for ways to preach the whole gospel every day. And often it's impossible to do that. Remember that talk by Adrian Holloway back in whenever it was, February, January? We talked about moving along steps. You know, sometimes actually what we're trying to do is just take someone from a position of 1 to 10, 10 being becoming a believer, they're at 1, you're just trying to make them onto 2. And I guess the question then is, actually, am I the person in the workplace, in that environment where I'm doing the 1-10, where people know, actually, you're loving, you're caring, you're thoughtful. Actually, that person's got an issue. You're the one who's going to show an interest in them. You know, you're not necessarily going to talk about Jesus at that point, but you're just the person who's showing love and compassion. Is that the reputation we have, you know, as those in it?
Another very important point of the grace, how we walk in the Spirit. So are people seeing the
absolutely
of the Spirit?
Absolutely.
Which makes us stick out like sore thumbs in today's world.
Absolutely.
Because we're actually so completely opposite to the fruits or the works of the flesh. So that's what should mark us out and make people ask the questions.
Conversations will flow, won't they? You know.
But of course, after time, many people know that you're a Christian at work anyway.
Sure.
So opportunities may become less. But the other thing to bear in mind is being ready for the topical issue of the day.
Yeah.
So we need to be working at understanding the topical issues of the day.
Yeah.
How do we answer?
Yeah.
The uncaring God.
Yeah.
Why have we got more in Syria? We need to be ready to give answers to those.
Yeah.
And that takes hard work.
Yeah.
And maybe we need more time spent working those things through, training time. So,
yeah.
One interesting question: are we spiritually conspicuous in the way we talk?
Yeah. And these are, you know, these are things, and it's having that mindset, really. I think the danger is that we put them in compartments, you know, so we have the 10 hours, we have the 110 hours, and those two things don't interact, and actually how I am on a Sunday. Now, we know that isn't the way, but naturally the rhythm of life just takes over in the 110, and actually I end up living slightly differently or thinking differently than I am on a Sunday to the rest of the week. Yeah, you guys at the back, or anything extra from either of these two groups, really, that hasn't been said, or... Three groups, sorry.
I think maybe you picked up on your last bit just then, is that actually they're not separate things. We're part of God's family, the family of Jesus. And that's every part. And yeah, life can be difficult. And, you know, some of you might come to church tired, or family commitments or other commitments of all sorts might be late, necessarily regularly get around to something, or there's a week when you don't. But it kind of is you can't put it in compartments so much.
Yeah. That was really your last point. Yeah. Cool. Anything else extra from these two groups down here that has not been said? Or?
We made the point that all the conversation about Jesus needs to be natural and not kind of forced.
Yeah.
And that's a habit we need to get into, talking to each other about Jesus. If we're thinking our workplace is a significant amount of time, and it's not for all of us, but it's for quite a lot of us, then investing in those relationships, being really careful not to steal time from our employer, doing a Bible study rather than producing whatever we're supposed to produce. So you say, but there is the spiritual interest, so I need to invest time out of work. Most work contexts, most, not all, but have social opportunities, friendship opportunities. And it's in those times rather than perhaps the production time. When we're producing stuff, it's more about our integrity and diligence and all those things, and in the way we react to stress and all that. That's the weakness. But out in social times, then there's lots of things we can talk about.
Yeah.
So it's kind of thinking, oh, how long are we going to do that? Talk about wanting to be equipped, but I think that comes down in the other ones a little bit. And wanting to talk around, okay, if you've got quite an isolated job where you've got lots of family connections, just talking through the strengths in your job with other Christians and saying, how would you deal with it? And talking that through with other Christians.
Yeah.
To think, what's a godly approach to this?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's helpful, thank you. It's a spiritual conversation that we're having naturally with one another that then flow into the work life. I can't remember who said it, the relationship gurus tell you that the way in which, in the kind of the surveys, is the way it works is that if you just maintain what they call a one-dimensional relationship, that is, the relationship you just have with someone as a work colleague, you're never going to get that far with them. You've got to build different levels, different dimensions to build depth to it. So another dimension is when you go out with them socially, or another dimension is when they come to your house, or you know, you're building up the dimensions, the level of relationship, and we need to be thinking creatively about how that works. You know, if our workplace is not the one where actually the habit is you all go out together once a month or once a week, then should we be the ones that go, actually, why don't we start initiating thinking about, why don't we go out together once a month and see who comes? Because in most places there will be lonely people who would love to go out, or others who just don't have any other social kind of connections, who would be delighted to go out. So it's just thinking creatively about, okay, how am I going to build the dimensions? How am I going to build the relationships and develop them if this is my front line, if we're going to see the UK reached? Let's think about then the difference it would make to church life. We'll kind of keep all those three things together. We'll work it through together for the sake of time, and just people raise. We'll start, we'll go round this way here. We'll start with this group. So the difference we make to church life, if the 10 hours of life together focus on helping, the flip side of that, what would need to change to become reality? What kind of things do we need to do as a gathered church to impact the scattered? What are we doing in the scattered that needs to impact the gathered?
We said that we need to be probably as a more of a community group kind of thing at those meetings, talking to each other, kind of exactly what other people's 110 hours consistent, because we probably know what job they do or what things do, but not exactly what they're doing, the kind of people they are meeting with, and the sort of specific struggles or specific prayers that they have. And if we know that, we're going to be praying more knowledgeably, and that'll be a great way so they'll know about you as well. We also talked about the balance that needs to be, because those 10 hours are probably more like 3 when it comes to actual Bible teaching.
Yeah.
All Bible teaching can't be specifically linked to teaching us how we need to be in those 110 hours. There's got to be some stuff that is just there to build us up and to teach us certain things, perhaps for our own lives, that don't necessarily link. So it can't all be, this is what we need to be doing in the rest of your lives. Some of it's got to be for you personally.
Kind of doctrinal truths. Yeah.
You know, you can't lose too much of that focusing on.
I guess the question is have we got the balance right? That's the question. Which we're seeking feedback on continually. Is it? Is the application, not just on the Sunday sermons, but of course that's the majority of our teaching time, but midweek stuff, is the balance right? Do we need to do more doctrinal stuff? Do we need to think more about applications that relate to the 110 or just to the is the application too much about the gathered church life, or is it about the 110, the 10 and the 110? Feel free to speak at this point.
Do you not think with what we're being taught on a Sunday, that's going to kind of filter through, isn't it? I mean, we're effectively being taught to be disciples, then we discuss that in our community groups, and hopefully that kind of flows out from the community groups. That's sure, that's the pattern, surely, isn't it?
Absolutely. That would absolutely.
And then that goes on to community.
Absolutely.
Preaching to the community. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is the fundamental principle of what we're trying to do. It's the question of how we're teaching and the applications to that. Are they helpful in helping us make that transition? Do we need to be thinking much more about applications that touch where we are in the rest of our lives? Do we need to think more about applications on the nature of God and the doctrines? Do we need to think more about actually our life together as a gathered church? So they're just kind of three application area. So you're right, that's the trajectory we want to make, and of course we're hoping that what we're doing on a Sunday is helpful in every aspect of life, but actually it's good sometimes just to hear, the balance isn't quite right, or the balance is about right, or the culture of the church is one that we are thinking frontline, and we are thinking about out there, or actually we need to do some more thinking on that, or there's particular areas that we really need help with on that front line.
Just building on Nathan's point, that understanding of what each other is doing in the 110 day work, family, social, probably a lot of that has to happen informally.
Absolutely.
And perhaps a small amount in public church life, just to give it a profile. But, like you talked about, testimonies of people's struggles and what they do and stuff like that. It would take a long time to get through everybody.
Absolutely. So it's the kind of thing we want to be talking about over coffee, asking the extra curious questions about finding out what people are really doing and what's happening, where the stresses are, where the joys are.
Yeah, and really thinking through how you act as a Christian ..
Yeah.
Mother, worker, fellow shopper, all those things.
And the other thing, surely, is that you need to be prepared to be able to that.
Yeah.
You can't say, you can't clam up about something. If you're going to be open with each other, then you need to be open with each other.
Yeah.
And sharing problems.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Does anyone else, from any of the groups, just kind of go on any of those kind of three areas? Culture Sun.
Okay, just one thought, going back to the idea of being able to respond to particular topical issues, current issues, actually to even run work examples.
To one, sorry?
Work examples.
Yeah.
So take it to one of the pictures around was the four sailors who were
around
the Atlantic. So how it came up, you know, in your general conversation, as well, how does, you know, AWS, how does that fit in with the love of God? And you probably know the principles, but sometimes it's quite good to apply those principles to a real life situation. Not so that we all have stock answers, but it would actually just help us to you know, in a real game, for example, come out that week, to equip us and help us in the very thought processes.
Yeah. That's helpful.
That could work, actually. It could work.
Yeah.
It could even be slipped in as a sort of a small intro even to a Sunday morning service.
Yeah,
and that could even be quite helpful in all sorts of levels. In all sorts of levels.
Yeah, yeah.
Church meeting people could actually be helping those who are Christians and those who are not Christians to be thinking biblically about these issues which will be, you know, discussed in the press.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. Steve.
Going back to the point you made about walking in the spirit, the motivated, so the passionate preaching of Christ to us on a Sunday is important in motivating us, isn't it? Really, in reminding us that He loved us, we love Him, we love Him because He loved us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's obvious, I know, but it's quite
important,
because we tend to forget.
Well, yeah. No, I think that, and that's what we're saying, is that the gathered church is for that.
It's, you know, a key motivational point.
Yeah, no, thank you. Any other comments, thoughts? Yes, sure.
Nothing strikes too much sort of obvious with the extra teaching or extra training or anything we've got. Reasonable setup, I think, community groups and the emphasis you have on the preaching and sort of thinking about disciples and disciples from the start of the year. There's lots of good kind of that way. I think we're quite knowledgeable church that know a lot. I think it's just a case of putting more of what we know into practice.
Okay.
As if I was thinking at my level, I think that would probably be the case. Why am I not doing something? My witness it in the workplace, it's not better for instance, it's more than likely because I'm not practicing it even though I know, I know what to do, I know how to do it. Might not be particularly good at it, but we just practice. But I think there is a lot of good coming from where it should come from, from the teaching and emphasis on the image groups, and this discussion now is all good. It shows where the heart is and the motive.
We just need to. Yeah, we need to encourage one another in that, don't we? We just need to keep encouraging one another to live as whole life disciples, to keep, you know, thinking about Christ in all areas, that He is Lord over everything. Yeah, thank you. Would it be good? So we're going to spend the last 10 minutes in maybe twos or threes, probably if it can be done, same sex, but not necessarily. Is share with one another the following. Briefly describe how you spend an ordinary day. Tell the others what you'll be doing at 10:30 a.m. I was going to say, we were going to say Monday morning, but it's bank holiday, so Tuesday morning or a week Monday, if that helps, if you're a school teacher. What opportunities or challenges will you face? What do you find most satisfying about your normal activities? What do you find most stressful? How can we pray for you? And then pray for one another. That's why I want to try and keep it in small groups so that everyone gets a chance to be prayed for. So we're going to 10 minutes or so. So do be quick, talking with one another rather than catching up about everything else. Answer the questions, spend some time. It's really what Nathan was just saying about this kind of sharing with one another about the life of the church, life of one another. So, go. If you feel uncomfortable with praying, just share with one another. And don't feel the pressure to pray.